Good morning and welcome to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur. Our Sunday morning worship is at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:15. My name is Pastor Matthew Versaman, and I have the privilege of being Trinity's pastor. We'd like to invite you to worship with us, especially if you do not have a church home. We're located on the southeast side of Decatur. Let us begin this morning's worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us confess our sins unto God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you, O Lord, of all my sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name, O Lord, I have not honored as I should, and my worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love, O Lord, have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. O Lord, I am sorry for all my sins, and I ask you to forgive me for the sake of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Upon this, your confession, I have the joy of telling you that God loves you, and in his love he sent his only Son Jesus to the cross to die for you, and Jesus did die for you. Therefore, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our message today, as we continue our series on prayer, is from Luke 18, and it reads, Jesus told them a parable that they ought always to pray and never give up, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God nor respect people. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him, saying, give me justice from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but finally he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect people, yet because this widow keeps on bothering me, I will give her justice, otherwise she will keep on coming and wear me out. And will not God also bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus told his disciples a parable about how they ought always to pray and never give up. He's speaking about persistent prayer, nagging prayer, prayer that looks like a pesky widow coming to a crooked judge who wears him down with her pleas until she gets justice. Now, the crooked judge was probably on the take, but this pesky widow keeps showing up in his courtroom demanding justice. And while the crooked judge couldn't care less about justice, he chooses to give this widow justice for no other reason than she is grinding him down with her persistent demands. And this, my friends, is the picture Jesus gives us of persistent prayer. The point of comparison is obviously from lesser to greater. Our Lord is not an unrighteous judge. He's a righteous and very good judge, whose judgments are pure and precise. Thus, if a crooked judge can be persuaded by the persistent cries of a woman seeking justice, how much more will God, the righteous judge, work justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long? Absolutely not. He will give them, us, his children, justice, and quickly. You have Jesus's word on it. The key point is stubborn persistence. And persistent prayer flows from firm faith. Prayer is an exercise of faith. Our faith may be a small faith, a dim faith, a flickering faith, even the tiniest of faith. But there must be faith for there to be prayer. No one prays to someone they don't believe in. This is why our text ends with this big question. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Why then do you and I lose heart or fail to pray? To a large degree, it's our impatience, which is the opposite of stubborn persistence. We hate standing in long lines, being stuck in traffic, waiting for the web page or movie to upload, being told to take a number or wait your turn. We're insulted. Important people like us don't wait to be seated at a restaurant. We want what we want, and we want it when we want it. We demand instant gratification, or we'll take our business elsewhere, to some other god. But prayer is an exercise in stubborn, faithful persistence. We are praying to a God for whom a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years are like a day. This could take a while, folks. One of the characteristics of faith is patient endurance or stubborn persistence. The woman in the parable keeps on coming back to the crooked judge, because she really has no place else to go, no one else to give her justice. You and I really have nowhere else to go either. There's only one true God in the universe. But because of our sin, we lose patience with prayer. If we don't get what we want and when we want it, we go looking for some other more productive way of getting what we want. As a result, our prayers are often shallow, sporadic, anemic, and undisciplined. Sort of like going to the gym a couple of times, lifting weights, and then concluding, "This exercise stuff is for the birds. I don't see any increase in my muscles." But faith-filled prayer is in the game for the long haul. It's a marathon, not a 100-yard dash. Still, our sinful self-centeredness and our demand for instant gratification leads to our prayers quickly running out of steam. What's the point? Nothing ever happens. This reminds me of one of the saints, Saint Monica. Monica was a woman of persistent prayer, although in our parable. And eventually, Monica won the favor of her mother-in-law and her husband became a Christian. Monica had 3 children, one of whom was named Augustine, who would later become one of the great fathers of Western Christianity. But now, again, Augustine was a rebellious youth. He shacked up with his girlfriend, with whom he had a child, and at one time was a member of a false religion. So Monica dragged her wayward son to the local bishop to straighten the young man out, but to no avail. So the bishop advised Monica, "Leave your son alone and simply pray for him. It cannot be that the son of such tears and cries should be lost." And so she prayed for her son with a mother's tears and cries before the Lord's throne for the next 10 years. Of course, Augustine did become a Christian, and later he wrote, "My mother Monica wept more for my spiritual death than other mothers weep over the bodily death of a child." Jesus promises you and me in this text, will God not give justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? He will give them justice, and quite quickly. This is why we often pray for the same people on our church's prayers list week after week. Sadly, we oftentimes treat God like some ATM in the sky or a divine vending machine. Plug in enough quarters and dimes of prayer and faith, and we expect 12-ounce blessings to pop out of heaven like a bag of Doritos. Although we often treat him like one, God is not a vending machine. And you know what happens when we lose patience with a vending machine. We kick them, pound them, scream at them, use a few choice expletives, or we just give up and find another vending machine that'll give us what we want when we want it. This is the way of little faith, or no faith at all. But we have a God who does not smother smoldering wicks. He does not give up on bruised reeds. He will answer even the prayers of those with baby faith. So Jesus encourages we of little faith, saying, you ought always to pray and to never give up. The life of prayer is sort of like Jacob wrestling with God in the Old Testament lesson, Genesis 32. Jacob pins God down. Now, yes, God allowed himself to be pinned down by Jacob, but God wants us to pin him down in prayer. As we hold God to his words and promises, God, you cannot go against your word and promises. We pin God down. Jacob pins God down and won't let him go, even with his hip out of joint, until God blesses him. That's a great picture of persistent prayer. And the new name that God gives Jacob is Israel, which means one who wrestles with God. And isn't that actually a great description of what our prayer life should be? One who wrestles with God and pins him down to the mat of his word and promises. And yes, like Jacob, we walk with a limp. That is, we walk by faith and not by sight. But that disjointed hip is our strength. In other words, when we are weak, then we're in the best position for God to be the strength of our lives. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed a lot. Jesus was the best practitioner of prayer. He prayed throughout his ministry. Then we remember how he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, that the cup of God's wrath poured out on him at the cross would be taken away if it were possible. Nevertheless, he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. He prayed for those who mocked him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed to the Father when the Father seemed absent, my God, why have you forsaken me? He prayed to his daddy, even with his dying breath, Father, Daddy, into your hands I commend my spirit. In fact, talk about persistent prayer. Jesus still and continually prays for the world, for his church, and for you. We're told in Hebrews 9, Jesus did not enter heaven with the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place with his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. And then Hebrews 7 adds, and this should knock your socks off, and he, Jesus, always lives to intercede to the Father on our behalf. Jesus is the one who, in a much greater way than Jacob ever could, wrestled with God for us and for our salvation. Jesus didn't just have his hip dislodged. He had his whole body dislodged and out of joint as he was crucified on the cross, that you and I might be saved. Jesus is the persistent widow in our parable, who persistently, always, continually pleads to the Father with his own pure blood for our justification, for our being declared righteous. So that we don't have to face the Father's justice or punishment against our sins, for Jesus paid for it already in his own body on the tree. And when you and I realize that's who Jesus is, our Savior, and when we realize all that he's done to save us and reconcile us to his Father, so that his Father is now our loving Father, and we are his dearly loved kids, all through the blood of Christ. That it's all the sweetest deal we've ever received. It not only leads us to love the Father and love Jesus and trust that Jesus is indeed our Savior, but then out of that faith flows a life of persistent prayer to our Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, who prays with us, and he prays for us. As our nation becomes increasingly ungodly and is rapidly apostatizing from the faith once handed down to her, and as we find that increasingly there is oftentimes no such thing as equal justice under the law, and as we increasingly find that the judicial branch of our government is even more becoming political in their so-called administration of justice, we find ourselves in much the same situation as the widow and the unjust judge in our parable. So what in the world can we do? Jesus tells us in our text, you ought always to pray and never give up. Pray to the Father through his Son, by the power of the Spirit, and do so persistently, that he would grant us his justice in our land and in our lives. Bother God with your prayers. Jesus tells you to, and he shed his blood so that you can. Wrestle with God in your prayers, and pin him down to the mat of his word and promises. He wants you to do this, as Jesus promises in our text. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? I tell you, he will bring justice to them, and quite quickly. It's time for us who know Jesus is our Savior, who has already reconciled us to the Father. It's time for us to cry out to God to bring about both his justice in our land and in our lives, to defend the way of righteousness and to hinder the plans of the evil, and that we also and above all pray for our justification and for the justification of all the lost, that they too may know that they're included in the cross of Jesus Christ, where God the Father already did justice to everyone's sins on the body of Christ, so that no one is excluded from Jesus's all-forgiving death. Jacob called the place where he wrestled with God Peniel, which means face of God. He said, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been spared. Jesus is our Peniel. In Jesus, we have seen God face to face, and yet our lives have been spared. Yet, even more than spared, through Jesus' blood, God makes his face, his smiling face, to shine upon us. He lifts up his countenance, his with you I am well pleased countenance, upon you and upon me, and he gives you his peace, his shalom, his total restoration. Although God may delay in answering some of our prayers, he will never delay when we pray for forgiveness, life, and salvation. In fact, he's already answered those prayers at the cross. and it is finished. Our big judgment day and our being declared righteous in Jesus are already completed. This is why the faithful pray. We pray because our God is so much more than a crooked judge, and you are so much more than a nuisance to him. You are his dearly loved child, and he is your gracious, good father. So go ahead and bother God with your prayers. Bother him all you want. He doesn't mind. Be persistent and pesky, like the widow in our text. Wrestle with God in your prayers, like Jacob. Pin him down to his word. Pin him down to the mat of his promises until he blesses you. And never give up. Jesus told you that. Never give up. God loves to hear the voice of his children, and he loves to grant our prayers for what he knows is good for us. Because, why does he? Because we are already reconciled to the Father for the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are a good, good God. A loving God, a merciful and compassionate God, slow to anger, and abounding in love and faithfulness, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin to 1,000 generations of those who love you. We pray, O Lord, through Jesus Christ, whose blood set us free to be the people of God. And that is who we are. That is who you tell us we are. That is who Jesus tells us we are. You are our dear Father, and we are your dear sons and daughters, all for the sake of Jesus. And as we pray, we ask you, Jesus, to pray with us and to pray for us. And we ask you, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, through whom we cry out to God, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, that you too would pray with us with groans that words cannot express, because we often do not know what we ought to ask for. Heavenly Father, we above all ask for mercy for ourselves and those we know and love and name in our hearts. The reason we above all ask for mercy, rather than specifically naming that you do this or that, is because we want to leave it to your will. And yet we are bold to pray that if it be thy will, you would bring healing to the lives of your children who are hurting, that you would bring justice and righteousness to our land and lead many who are lost to repentance and faith in Jesus, and continue to lead us who have been found to repentance and continual faith in Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask you, O Lord, that you would grant rain upon our land, upon our crops, upon our gardens and our grasses. We don't deserve it, for we are sinners. But we ask you, as a loving Father, that you would care for your children, and grant us such rain. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who are facing the loss of a loved one, that you will comfort them with your resurrection and the certainty of the resurrection of all those who believe in Jesus Christ, and of a great reunion to come when you take us all home to be with yourself in paradise. We ask this all through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. We thank you again for tuning in to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church of Decatur, Illinois. Trinity's worship is at 9 a.m. every Sunday, with Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:15. And if you do not have a church home, we'd like to especially invite you to worship with us. As we ponder whether or not to continue our radio broadcast, we ask you, the listening audience, that if you indeed are being fed and or blessed through these messages, that you would call us at Trinity at 217-422-3630 and let us know that you are indeed being blessed by these radio broadcasts. And so, we pray that you would have a good week in the Lord. Go in peace and serve the Lord with gladness. God bless.